What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitt.
And I'm Michaela Oakwind.
We're Ellie Schnitt and Michaela Oakwind. I was going to do the intro like that, and I was like, no, I can't do it.
I thought you were going to, and then
I saw it in your face.
Yeah. I heard you talk normally, and I was like, wow.
I have self-control.
Yeah, it's very fun to do accents. I don't know if anyone likes hearing them, but we love to do them.
And we love to do them.
We widow, we love to do accents.
That's pretty good. Accents. You know how, like, okay, when you do accent work, maybe you don't, I mean, you might know this, but I'm talking to the general public, you might not know this. When you do accent work, like, it's helpful to have, like, a lead phrase, like, something that you can say that gets you into the accent. Mm. So, whatever it might be. And for some reason, for baby voice, it's all widowy. That always gets me into it.
For me, for the, for an English accent, it's always Love Island phrases, like, let's go for a chat.
Stunning.
He's my type on paper.
On paper.
Mm-hmm. And that starts to get me there.
Yeah. Or like in Australian, like shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
How would they say kangaroo in Australia?
Kangaroo?
That was really good.
Thank you. I've been watching a lot of Australian YouTubers.
I've been watching an Australian reality show. Married at First Sight. Australia. I can't do it. I really can't do it. It's so good though.
It's so hard. Yeah.
I can't do Australian because it goes British. Like I start Australia. Sometimes it goes Irish even when I try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, it's like they're all sort of variations on each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And we're
even like the southern accent. Sometimes I'm doing a southern accent and I start going British and I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's hard because you lock into something and there are other things close to that in the locked in section of your mind. And you might wander into the next one. Yeah.
And that's why you need a lead phrase so that when you get lost, you can be like, he's my type on paper.
Right. And then you're back. And then we're so back.
And then you're back in.
We had a solar eclipse. Did you see it?
We did. Today was the solar eclipse. I did see it. It was very exciting for me personally. I think like, oh my God, bless you. That was so aggressive.
I can't control my sneezes. I could if I tried, but I don't want to control their sneezes. No, because some people can do like, they feel a sneeze coming and they're like, achoo.
No, I just think some people have bigger sneezes than others. Because sometimes my sneezes are crazy.
When I'm in certain settings, I can control them.
So what happens in those certain settings that you feel you can control it, but not other settings?
I think I lock in. Because if I'm at like say like a job, I don't know. If I'm with my friends, I don't really care so much. But if they're like people who I don't really know, because I have a big sneeze and I need to, I don't know. Mm. It's rough. But I can like make it silent even. I can make a sneeze not happen. But it's so hard to do because.
I don't think I can do that.
Well, a sneeze is so satisfying. You don't want to kill it. You don't want to make it smaller.
They are very satisfying. I had that thought this morning. Like, wow, sneezing feels so good. When I was driving, like when I was 15 and like learning how to drive, I remember that I was really scared about sneezing because I was like, well, you have to close your eyes when you sneeze. What if I look away and something happens? So even to this day, whenever I sneeze and I'm driving, I have to hold the wheel with both hands. I look straight ahead and then I keep looking.
I think that's so normal. Like I get scared too when I have to sneeze when I'm driving, even to this day.
It's scary because it's like something could happen and then the like 10 half milliseconds that I've closed my eyes.
It feels longer than it is. So
speaking of closing your eyes, we were not supposed to look into the sun today. Got him. I wonder how you guys, if any of you guys were on the path of totality and got to actually see like the proper eclipse. Like we both had kind of lame eclipse. Not lame eclipse, it was still kind of cool. But my sister, not like a full
in New Hampshire had a really cool one. And my 7-year-old nephew was like, that changed my life, apparently.
I'm so glad that that changed his life.
Or he said, like, that changes my outlook on life. Or so. It was really funny. It was like the kind of thing. It's the kind of thing where someone would say it on Twitter and then you're like, did you make that up? Did you just make that up? Your 7-year-old did not say that.
But, and yet he did say it.
He's just feeling a little dramatic.
His entire life. And like, who, honestly, I was really, so I like didn't think about the eclipse at all. I was like, ugh, I don't need to see the eclipse. I don't care, whatever. And of course, right, the day cool comes and I'm like, well, I have to see the eclipse. Yeah. You know, I can't not be part of it. And I went to go get coffee at like 2:00 and there was a big line like right outside my apartment because I live near, I won't say what, but they were giving out glasses, like eclipse glasses at this location. Right. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm getting in line. And I waited in this line. And then they were out of glasses. And then I was like, fuck. Well, now I got my hopes up to see the eclipse. And now I can't see the eclipse. So then I kept walking. And a very nice old man offered to let me look in his glasses. He asked if I'd seen it. And I said no. And he let me look. And it was cool.
That's so sweet. That's so nice.
Everyone was like really on a good vibe today. Like everyone wanted to be outside, was like being very helpful and kind with each other. People were like making conversation on the street about it.
The eclipse and the earthquake really bringing New Yorkers together.
Yeah. And there's a lot of jokes on Twitter that are like, if this happened like 500 years ago, people would really think it was end times, like an earthquake in a place that doesn't get earthquakes. And then the sun disappears. Like you literally would be like, well, that's it.
That's bad. That's bad. I was just thinking about that today, too. I don't remember what it was exact. Oh, I think it was the eclipse. But I was like, oh, my God, no wonder people originally, like the original religion came from the stars. Like, how could it not if you see things like that happening? Obviously, you have to say it means something.
Yeah. And also, like, I was thinking about this. Like, you know, you're not supposed to look at the eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what did they, like, did they know? Did they learn the hard way? Did everybody just go blind for a while after that? Like, that's a bad omen, too. Like,
I bet they figured it out earlier than we would think. I mean, like, even if you look at thousands of years ago, they had birth control methods just by like trial and error. So like they were figuring stuff out, you know?
That's true. But eclipses don't happen very often. And then if the lifespan wasn't that long, I guess if before written word and, but I'm sure they passed things down orally. I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I was like, was there a large blindness in like the year 512 that we like don't, that we
they were writing stuff down big time in 512, Ellie.
No, like cuneiform.
They were writing in 2500 BC.
Oh, slay.
Well, that's when they started to. But yeah, they definitely were fine. That's after like ancient Rome. That's after Jesus that you're thinking of.
Oh,
that's after Aristotle. It's after, you know,
the Bible in theory.
All of those. Yeah. Sort of
Jesus and all that. We've been bringing him up a lot lately.
We've been bringing up Jesus so much. But I have to say, I'm loving this mini series. It gives us like an easy idea, but then it always ends up being an interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah. And we were going to tell you at the start of the episodes what our episode's about. It's only been 8 minutes. We did pretty well. Okay.
Yeah. We're sloughing. We're sloughing.
Sloth and gluttony. We're doing sort of a combo because I think they're somewhat similar. We decided that they're kind of similar.
Because they fall under overindulgence, I feel.
Yes.
And so that's one of the sins. It's literally sloth is listed as the sin. So we will be driving toward that after we go through all of the beautiful side roads, right?
Yeah. Body roads. Like a back road. Huh? Driving with my eyes closed. You know that song?
Was that Taylor Swift?
No, it is not.
That makes like, sense. I don't think it would. Yeah.
That'd be crazy if she wrote a song called Body Like a Back Road.
It would be like, it would be so much more dramatic, though. It was like body like a back road to the, I don't know, to my memories of my childhood and like
sin, because she loves putting like religious imagery when she talks about sex like all the time. I think it's a little weird, but like we'll talk. Yeah, that's a whole
very us coded. We love
it's
to
very
talk about religion,
religious trauma coded. Like I don't know what happened to her in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Am Redding, I laughing kind of a new way? I've been sissing a lot lately. Is that new for me?
You've been whatting?
Like laughing like a snake? Like
like
yeah. Is that, have I always done that?
No, I have noticed you always doing that. Don't think that that's a new thing. I think maybe you're just peppering it in a little bit more lately. Because
usually my go-to laugh is the, like the.
Yeah. I think they're very similar to me. So maybe I haven't really noticed.
Wow.
Like it's a very percussive laugh. You know, it's like a very like rhythmic kind of laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Embarrassing. Oh my God.
No, it's not. Why do people think laughs are embarrassing?
I don't know, but my friend Erin does the exact same laugh as me now because we spent 2 months together in Italy and now she like got my laugh on accident, which so sorry to her.
Wow. So no, that's so cute.
Sorry to that. And I heard her laughing and I was like, that's my laugh.
I just don't feel like, I don't know, like people get so self-conscious about their laughs. Like, where does that come from? Like, it's, you're expressing joy and you're embarrassed about it. Whoever made you feel embarrassed of that should kiss themselves.
Well, there are people who've written in about my laugh, but it wasn't like negative, but they were like, we love Michaela's laugh.
Yeah, and I'm see, like, what is, cute.
But what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah. Mm. I went to a fun event and there was a tarot card reading. And
wow, so you cheated on me with another tarot reader?
Oh my God. And yeah, Erin has been doing tarot reading and they were like,
well, that doesn't upset me as much.
They were like, have you ever done a tarot card reading before? And I didn't tell them, but like every week.
Please, I'm a fucking old pro at this.
Yeah. Did we? Oh, yeah, we kept it. I got my hair done. I got my makeup done. And there were bunnies there.
Slay.
I briefly.
I want to hold a bunny. Did it bite anybody?
Well, so, okay, here's the thing. So the handlers were there and they were like handing the bunnies to people. The bunny that I tried to hold immediately wanted to not be held. And I was like, okay, yeah. I'm going to leave you alone. So I just got pictures with the bunny sort of like at the bottom near of my dress because they were not about it. They weren't feeling it.
Yeah, I don't think of bunnies as very like wannabe cuddled creatures. Like I feel like they're kind of like we're going to do our own thing, you know?
Yeah, and well, some people they were totally chill for. And I was like, you know what? But they loved being at the bottom of my dress.
Yeah. Maybe your energy was too powerful and it like overwhelmed them a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what we have to tell ourselves in moments like these. You're not hated by woodland creatures.
Well, no, because that's the thing, because you're not. Like, squirrels love you, so I wonder if there's, like, a really big energy difference between a squirrel and a rabbit.
Well, I will say, a lot of them came around me, and, like, someone made a comment that they loved me, but they didn't want to be, like, picked up, really.
Held.
But maybe most people experience them not wanting to be picked up. Erin was fine.
Yeah, I could see that. She has kind of bunny rabbit energy.
Or maybe they just got tired because I went after her. They were tired of being held up.
They're like, people are touching me.
Yeah, they're like, well, give it a rest.
I guess I would get tired of people holding me. I do. I don't like being picked up all the time.
Well, and as the moment it squirmed, I was like, okay, I'm not doing this. So maybe other people were powering through the squirming.
I bet.
Yeah, so that was fun. And then I was oh my God, I'm so glad we didn't end up doing this. My friend wanted me to go to an event with her because she was like trying to sort of establish a relationship with this brand because she wants to like do social media for them. But it was a beach attire dress code. And I can't tell you how that like a beverage brand party where the dress code is beach. And it's 30 minutes away from me. It was like the worst sounding thing in the world. But then the time came and neither of us were like texting about it. And then she texted me at 7:30 and was like, I don't think we're going. And I was like, thank God. Because
thank
the idea of like putting on a bikini for a liquor party is the last thing I could ever want to do. And she wouldn't want to do it either. So, yeah.
That's like if I have to come up with like a combination of words that sounds like your least favorite possible activity, like it would be that. I'd be like, how can I, if I was coming up with a hell activity for you, that would kind of be it.
Show up to this alcohol party in a bikini. Oh my God, I can't. I have chills. I'm literally shaking right now. I'm so scared.
I love a theme of beach. Love that. That's so funny. I love when the dress codes like sort of make no sense. Like influencer parties sometimes will have a dress code where you're like,
wait, my favorite one.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It wasn't necessarily an influencer event. This was like a chicken nugget competition, but it was like hard to get into, I think. But there were like vendors for all of the best like chicken tenders and chicken nuggets in like the area. It was great. There was a Raising Cane's one there too. Anyway, the dress code was elevated picnic.
I love that as a dress code. I love that.
And I do feel like that's clear to me. You know what I mean? That
paints a picture.
Yeah. Never had something like that since then. But people do try to get very oddly specific with dress codes. Like space Barbie. Like two things together.
And it's like, that's not a clear instruction, actually.
And I'm not going to buy anything. I'm
loving that for your sort of... My friend went to a birthday party. I'm trying to think what it was. It was like denim and diamonds, something like that.
Oh, I kind of like that.
I kind of love that, actually, because that is clear.
I don't have anything really for the diamonds part, but I could maybe get some like hair, a little diamond dots or... and put them in my hair. Like that'd be cute. Yeah,
I think she wore like a choke, like a choker, like a diamond choker and like a jean corset kind of situation. It was cute.
Wow, a real diamond choker? How rich is she?
She's so rich. She must be so fabulous rich. She got it on Amazon for $14.99.
Oh my God. Splurging. Did you see the article that was, I don't know if this was a joke, but it was like a screenshot going around. It wasn't linked to anything, so that's why it's like, I don't know. But it was Millennial and Gen Z's favorite new splurge, groceries.
No, and it was real. Which is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life. And yes, I do splurge on groceries if you mean I need food to eat to survive.
What else could we do?
Groceries are not a splurge.
First, they came for the avocados. And I said...
nothing.
Because at that time, I wasn't into avocados yet. But then they came for eating out and then they came for groceries. Yeah.
What is a girl supposed to do? Not eat?
Grow vegetables.
That's like more expensive.
Oh my God. And I've realized that with my machine sewing endeavors. I tried to get like enough yards of fabric for pajama pants and it was like $20-something. And I was like, okay, so I mean, you can get cheaper fabrics. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my friends said she thrifts at estate sales, which I might try that. Especially in Hollywood, I feel like they'll be good fabrics.
People also do things like they make them out of like curtains at Goodwill and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think would be great.
That's smart and interesting. Interesting.
The only thing is certain patterns require certain material and I'm not good at telling what a material is.
Right. That will be something I'm sure you will learn.
And at Joann's, they're labeled, which love that about them. Yeah. So I'm making pajama pants this week and I'm excited to report back to you guys.
I'm really excited for you to make pajama pants.
Mm-hmm. I also did, I don't know if you've done this, it's sort of similar to tarot, but it's like the pendulum where you like ask it a question and you're like, you ask a yes or no question that you know the answer to. And then if it moves one way, you now know that that's yes. And then if you move it a different way, you know that that's no. And Aaron was doing it for me and we lit a candle and I asked if I was going to find any of my soulmates this year and it said no.
Okay. Can I ask a question that might sound dumb?
No. Yeah. Well, yes, it won't be dumb. Yeah.
So a pendulum...
Is that the wrong word?
No, but... Right? But it sort of like swings a string. Both ways. So how do you know which way
clockwise it's swinging? Clockwise or counterclockwise? It's either... If it's counterclockwise, it's yes or no, and then counterclockwise, yeah. So you ask, like, is my name Michaela? And then if it swings clockwise, you'll be like, oh, it's yes. Yes is clockwise. And then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Ouija board.
Yeah, it was really cute. I mean, I couldn't influence the answers because Aaron was swinging the pendulum.
Maybe she was influencing the answers. Maybe she is a hater and doesn't want you to find your soulmate this year.
She just doesn't see it for me. She's like, this bitch, she hasn't left the house yet still. So probably not.
No, you left the house one time.
I did. Okay. And I'm going to do it again. And also, I feel like having a job... And this is going to go back to our conversation later, but I feel like doing things makes me want to do more things more.
Well, we will talk about this later, but an object in motion tends to want to stay in motion, right? It's inertia.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, you are a science queen. And that's just a sneak
peek for what we're going to be talking about later.
Why did you write?
Okay, because.
Do you know what I'm about to say? Yeah. We have this catch-up list and it's all just like things that have happened this week. And then Ellie just writes, I'd be very happy as a hamster. Is there any...
Okay, because I came to this realization on stream because I was drinking my little water bottle and somebody was like, would you want to have like a hipster, like a drink thing next to your bed? And I was like, absolutely. And I've actually talked and thought about this a lot, that I do want like a human size hipster thing. And I think it'd be really cool if someone like came and changed it every day. So I had like lots of water. And then I was like, also, I like love treadmills. Like, I feel like I would really have fun on a hamster wheel. Like, if I had a little hamster wheel. And then I was like, and also like, love to sleep. Probably burrowing could be huge for me.
Love to burrow.
I would burrowing. Like have a lot of fun in those like tunnel system things people build for hamsters.
Yeah, because that reminds me of how I used to make like box houses when I was younger. Like, I'd take a bunch of cardboard boxes and color them fort, and tape them together. Oh my God. That would be ideal.
You know, I really came to the realization that like I would be very happy as a hamster.
You know how super rich people have like pay people to do a bunch of things for them? Do you think there's any celebrity or rich person out there who has a hamster water bottle that someone changes for them? Or do you think would be the first?
Honestly, because what's the point of having that much money if you're not doing that? But I guess maybe celebrities aren't real waterheads like I am. Like, when I was a kid, I wanted like so badly, I wanted my parents to buy me one of those like water cooler, water dispenser things so I could keep it in my room and then I wouldn't have to go downstairs for water and I could just keep drinking water in my room all day. I literally wanted one so bad. So if I had a hamster wheel thingy, they make ones for babies, I think, don't they?
That you mount to the wall?
They make dog sized ones. So I feel like you that's could just sort get that for human you. Size.
Yeah, why couldn't you just have that for you?
Because I don't want to have to refill it. I want to be a hamster. I want somebody else to do that for me. Also, isn't it crazy there's no P in the word hamster?
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, I think about that a lot.
She's a runner. She's a hamster. She won't look away when it gets hard.
Me.
She's a runner. She's a hamster. That's good. Yeah. You had big news for me that you were trying to not tell me until we recorded.
Yes, but I have come to the realization that I actually do want to talk about this only on the bonus episode. So I'll give you a sneak peek here. But I think it's more appropriate for the bonus episode to give the details. I think it's more respectful to give the bonus episode details. But I will say, like, I ended things for now with with the guy.
You went on, like, two dates with him?
Yes. And, you know, it was like a whole thing. Actually, he like texted me when I was on stream and I was like responding to him while streaming and crying on stream.
Oh my God.
It was a mess because I just get really emotional with those kinds of things. Like, I don't like hurting people's feelings and like I don't want to make anyone feel bad. And it was very dramatic. And then we met for coffee and like talked about it as well. I know. No, it was really dramatic for a two-date thing. And it made me think about how, and I will talk about this in more detail, obviously, on the bonus episode on Patreon. But I remember that, okay, when I was seeing Shrimp Cocktail Man for the first time, not the second time and not the third time, for the first time, we went on two dates and then he canceled our third date because he said, you know, it feels too serious. And at the time I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like,
you had a whole thing of cheese.
So many cheeses and a loaf of bread and whatever. And I was kind of like, it was two dates. How could it possibly have felt serious at all? Like, how could you ever feel that way? Like, are you insane? And I was like not very charitable to him about it, and like I still think he's like an evil bad person, but now I kind of get it, because like if you're not ready to be dating again and like you do actually have like a connection with someone, it can feel very serious.
Oh, that's why, that's me every time I've tried to talk to anyone ever in the last 5 years. That's exactly what happens. That's why I like for it to be long distance at the beginning, because I get scared so quickly. I'm like, oh my God, I have to see them now. And like, that's going to mean now we're talking more. And if I don't reply, they're going to be mad at me. Yeah, it freaks me out.
It's not necessarily that, or it's not like it just is that, like, when you know there's a connection and you also know you're not emotionally ready for a connection, it's too much. It's not that I was like, we're immediately going to be in a relationship, but I was like, I see where this is going and I'm not ready to even start to go there.
No, it feels you've gotten on a train that you can't stop, and like it's very stressful, and you're like, I want the train to slow down, but it won't slow down. I have to either jump off or stay on it.
So anyways, the train is stopped for now.
And that's going to be a good bonus episode. Plus this month, we're doing another Scorned Woman episode again on Monica Lewinsky after popular demand.
And after the fact that I will talk about, I will literally talk about that any minute of every day of any month of any week.
Right. And we've maybe talked about it for like 10, 20 minutes on the podcast, but we're going to go deep. We're going to like be reading old headlines about her. We're going to be getting into it. The implications. We'd love to discuss the implications.
We love the implications and how the wheels on the bus just go round and round.
I hope everyone heard that episode because I just, that was so, and the wheels on the bus, they do go round and round. should we seatbelt check or is there anything else you wanted to chat about from this
not
week?
Really, nothing that crazy or interesting. But, you know, I'm going to pull this car over because I'm driving and I'm just going to go onto the passenger side. I'm just going to make sure your seatbelt is buckled appropriately. Just going to make sure you're safe.
The seatbelt light is beeping. It's blinking.
Yeah, it's making noises and you're like, why is it making noises? I thought you were buckled.
Yep, but you maybe weren't. Well, you know, Ellie, this is all you.
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. So I love therapy. I have always been a huge advocate for therapy. I've been seeing my therapist for, gosh, going on 6 years now. So she's basically like a homie, less of a therapist, more of a pal. Just kidding. She actually is really, really good at her job. And I have benefited immensely from therapy. I literally feel like I wouldn't be the woman that I am today if I didn't have therapy as a resource. I think it's so good to help you work through not only like your daily problems and, you know, your work issues or your friend issues, your relationship issues, but also like work through things that have been patterns in your life that maybe you've identified but don't really know how to fix. Or things like phobias, anxieties, things that you feel like you have a lack of control over. Therapy can be really helpful in making you feel like you do actually have control because you have more control than you think that you do. But I know that it is not easy for everybody to access therapy. And that's why I love today's sponsor, BetterHelp, because, I mean, there are states in America even where there's like two therapists that take insurance, you know, like it's really, really important to have access to mental health and not everybody does. And BetterHelp makes it super, super easy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give it a try. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest, whatever it is, with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/LND.
Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Honeylove has revolutionized the bra game. Say goodbye to underwire without sacrificing lift. Honestly, it's time to spring clean your bra drawer. How long has everything been in there? For a limited time, only you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link. Honeylove.com/LND. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/LND. Listen, if I am going to wear a bra, it's gonna have to be comfortable. And that's why I go for Honeylove. I grew up wearing the most painful bras, and even though I chose some especially bad ones as a teenage girl because I wanted to look a little bit more developed, there weren't any other options at the time that were a lot more comfortable. So that's why I'm really glad the bra game has finally changed. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/LND. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/LND. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Honeys, you deserve this.
Please. Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up. So here's what had happened.
Oh, there's a story time.
There's a story time, and this is almost sort of a roadside attraction and seatbelt check combo because there was discourse that was involved in this. So I'm on Twitter. I'm minding my little old business. And I see a Mary Oliver hate tweet I see a tweet that is not appreciative of Mary Oliver's work and comparing her to Rupi Kaur and saying, you know, her work is, you know, bleh or boring or like not giving and not deep enough and not interesting, whatever. And I'm sat there like, well, first of all, feeling personally attacked because I do like Mary Oliver. And also, it's like, well, I'm sorry that you can't enjoy the little things. Anyways, we'll talk about that more after I read the poem.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, a lot to say. That got me worked up. I'm going to be honest. As you guys know, our last couple roadside seatbelt checks have been Mary Oliver poems.
Because we love her. We do. I feel like she captures our essence very well.
Also, is it wrong to say a beautiful thing in simple terms? Sorry, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
But somebody quote tweeted and was like, anyways, leaving this here. And it was this poem. And I was like, okay, beautiful. So here is our poem, our seatbelt check this week.
The sun.
Have you ever seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun, every evening, relaxed and easy, floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills or the rumpled sea and is gone? And how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world, like a red flower streaming upward on its heavenly oils, say on a morning in early summer, at its perfect imperial distance? And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere, in any language, a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out, as it warms you as you stand there, empty-handed? Or have you too turned from this world? Or have you too gone crazy for power, for things?
And see, that's so beautiful.
It's just so beautiful. And it's so true.
And, you know, it's got multiple themes here that I think are so important that we really love talking about on this podcast, too, is like appreciating the beautiful things that we maybe don't notice every day and the things like appreciating consistency and how beautiful consistency can be in our life and like being able to count on something that happens and noticing and all of the things that had to happen in order for that thing to happen.
It's just like having appreciation for life. And also we obviously talk about how important it is to go sit in the sun like a little plant.
Yeah.
Turn your face toward the sun like a sunflower and photosynthesize a little bit. But I just think it's a beautiful poem. And it's so, I don't know, like there is so much wonder about like being a person and even existing at all. And like and I was even saying this to you today that I was annoyed with my younger self because I didn't look at the eclipse like in 2017 when it happened because I was like, I don't care about that. I'm too cool to like look at the sun or whatever. It's like, there's an eclipse.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, you know, to be like alive and looking at the world is amazing. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't appreciate that, if you can't appreciate that, well, I just think you're a little bitter and a little jaded and that's probably not good for you.
Yeah. And I mean, we were talking about this a little bit too from the discourse. It's like, why do people think that they get to be the judge of if art is good, especially when that art does touch so many people and make them think and make them feel? And then it's like, oh, but I'm too deep to be touched by that art. It's a little bit like the Barbie discourse too.
It is. Well, it makes me roll my eyes in all. I'm so sorry to bring it back to this as I always do, but it reminds me of like the way people can be like really pretentious about like Taylor Swift. And it's like, clearly this woman's lyrics have touched millions and billions of people. Like, you really think you're too good? And I had this conversation with someone I was dating once where I was like, I just don't think I would relate to Taylor Swift. I'm like, oh, you've never had your heart broken. You've never experienced loss. Mm-hmm. You've never like had a feeling in your life. Like, like pick an emotion. I can tell you she's spoken about it. Like, why do you think you're too good? You're too deep, you're too dark to like appreciate beauty.
And that's like a totally different thing than just being like, oh, this specific poem or this specific song like didn't give me much of a reaction. I didn't feel much from this. And maybe it's just because you don't relate to what they're talking about. Maybe you haven't experienced what they're talking about, or maybe you're too young for it to really hit yet, or, you know, you're not at the right phase in your life for it to really hit yet. I just think it's a little bit full of yourself. Look at, and Mary Oliver is like such a famous poet, but I get this with books that I love too, like God, what's the bell hooks book? All About Love, I think.
All About Love or On Love or something.
I think All About Love by Bell Hooks. But you guys know what I'm talking about. It's the red cover book. But, you know, beautiful books that have so much meaning in them will, like, get really popular, and then people online will be like, actually, XYZ is wrong with, which, like, of course we can point out things that are maybe outdated or wrong with a book and stuff like that, but it almost becomes cringe to have enjoyed it or to have gotten something from it. And I feel like that's so embarrassing. Dude. To live like that, and bad for your mental health to live like that, like the irony. Literally. Poisoning, the not appreciating the sun of it all.
And always thinking, well, there's something better out there that I can like, that's deeper, cooler, that's better. Yeah. People are known. Like that with Everything Everywhere All at Once, weirdly. Like, people have like done like a weird 180 on it. It's like, oh, you liked that movie? That's cringe. I'm like, yes, I did cry when I watched that movie. That. What are you talking we're about? Not doing what do you that mean? Sorry, it's cringe to have had an emotional reaction to a beautiful story of mother-daughter love and love between a woman and feeling of like a failure and feeling lost in this world and how a mother and a daughter will always find each other in this world.
Yeah, and in another life, I would have loved just doing laundry
taxes with you.
Yeah, that
I was sobbing. What are you talking about? Like, be touched by the world. There's so much that is beautiful and that can move you. Like, why not be moved?
With all that said, I don't love Rupi Kaur.
And you don't have to.
I don't have to. People, like,
resonated with their work, and that's great. Mm-hmm. You didn't. That's also fine. But you're not like, this is stupid and bad, and I think you're stupid and bad if you liked it, right?
I mean, right. I mean, I think it would depend on the person's age, maybe, but like, it's a good.
I think if you're 19 years old,
yeah,
slaps.
Yeah, I think it's a good introductory to, you know, things like that. And it's sort of, I feel like it was sort of a trend a little bit of like, you, I don't know, really minimalist, like putting it out there. Sort of. Yeah, like coffee book things, like putting fuck on the cover of self-help books era type vibes, if totally. That makes sense.
Like, but there is bad poetry, you know, there is certainly bad poetry, but like, to sure say some that of the Mary stuff Oliver is
good. Yeah.
Is a bad poet. It's literally just stupid. It's like, you're dumb. It's people who like think things that are popular means they're bad, which is like brain disease. I'm sorry. That's so stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's like the whole
what
basic
it is.
Argument. It's like, oh, I don't like this thing because everybody likes it, so it must be bad. What are you talking about? That makes no sense.
Also, devaluing a whole artist as opposed to being like, yeah, most of their works I haven't liked, but maybe there's a poem I haven't read. Like, I'm sure that any poet that, not any, but like most poets that I don't love, like they probably have something I would like. They probably have something that I sure. could relate to in this human experience, unless they have total opposite philosophies of me in every single thing that they do. But to write down feelings and experiences, I love that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a pro Mary Oliver podcast.
Yeah, guys.
Don't get it twisted. And this is also a pro sun podcast. And
we're
one more
so
thing
about the sun.
We're so about the sun. And I'll say one more thing about the sun. An observation I made today on the eclipse
Please
was
do.
The sun was like 98% covered or something here. We had like 98% totality. Oh. And it was still pretty bright out. And I was like, she's so powerful. She's mostly covered and it's still pretty bright out. That's crazy. Like, the sun is so powerful and I just love her.
Haters thought they could shut her down today, but she persevered.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
All right, do we want to drive away to our main topic?
I'd love to drive away to our main topic. Wow, 35 minutes in even.
You guys, this isn't bad. This is like so not even bad. Wasn't it exactly 35 minutes last week too?
I don't remember anything. I think it might happened have been. In the last 3 days.
So there's something that we haven't been doing that I'm really sad that we haven't been doing, but we will be doing it today. We're going to start the topic with a Bible quote about this sin. And I have to say, reading these, there were so many to choose from. And I'm sorry, like, I wish I could read you all 30 of them because they're iconic and they sort of read us for filth. okay. So, through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Ecclesiastes 10:18.
So true.
Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Proverbs 21:25. And can I say, Kim Kardashian 2021, get off your ass and work.
Basically a Bible quote. I'll be honest, that one, when you sent it, I like gasped out loud. Yeah. I was like, well, why would you say that to me?
And here's the important one. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. It's so good. You guys should look
this. The desire of the sluggard. I love that. Also, it's so true, because when you're in your lazy era, you do like want, you feel bored. There's like nothing going on, but like because you're doing nothing, you're not going to get anything. And then you like feel like shit extra.
Yeah, Proverbs was big on the whole sloth thing, by the way.
Shout out Proverbs.
Here's my last one. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man.
Okay, that did not go the direction I expected it to.
In the middle, you think they're going to be like, a little bit is okay.
Yeah, and they said, do not close your eyes. Do not rest. Do not.
Hell will come for you in the night.
That's so scary.
I'm going to say the late night drive approach is going to go somewhere in the middle here.
What's also the thing? Idle hands are the devil's plaything.
Oh my God, wait, yeah, that one didn't show up in the top of it, but that's got to be...
That's got to be somewhere here.
There are so many quotes about being lazy in the Bible, I didn't realize.
It's like, was this a big I mean, were medieval peasants like super lazy?
I don't know, maybe because like there wasn't such a fast-paced lifestyle as there is now, you would maybe...
That's true.
I mean, you had to take longer though to like cook things, like you had to boil the water yourself and then you had to do... I don't know.
Well, everything took long. Although, medieval peasants, I'm not saying that their lives were easier than ours. They're not. But they had way more days off than we did.
They didn't have the clock. They didn't have clocking in.
No, and they had all the feast days off, pretty much. So, like...
You wouldn't have to be like, oh, sorry, I'm late. My alarm didn't go off. Because who has an alarm?
The sun went up and I got there when I got there.
The roosters were all killed last night. Yeah.
Sorry, the rooster didn't crow.
Well, this topic hits heavy for me because I do feel this is one of my biggest sins historically. Overindulgence and sloth, I would say. I'm not great at denying myself things that I would be better to have denied myself. And we've talked about that a little financially recently in episodes with the Uber Eats, of course.
The Uber Eats of it all.
And I don't know, I had this question for you. Do you think some people are inherently lazy or just motivated by something different that like manifests differently?
I mean, I honestly go back and forth because I think there are ways in which laziness is not like, I don't know, my therapist is always like, you're not lazy. Like you have there's like executive dysfunction or there are things that are harder for you to do or, you know, whatever. I think some people do have an easier time motivating themselves to do certain things or they have a stronger sense of needing to get something done or, you know, like it doesn't bother me. I don't get like an itchy, horrible feeling when like things are a little messy. Like it doesn't really bother me. But there are people who it really bothers. Can't leave a plate in the sink. Can't like do any of that.
And the way that they experience like happiness and serotonin payoff comes from achieving things in a stronger regard than other people. So they're just not as motivated to do it. Like, I don't know, I don't really care too much about becoming a doctor, so I'm not going to do 5 years of medical school and then 4 years of residency and then a year of fellowship and then all the pre stuff. And you know what I mean? Like that some people are built like that, but many are not.
Indeed, many are not.
And you're looking at them. Some of you apparently are. Some of you are scientists. Some of you are doctors even. Some of
you are high achievers.
Yeah.
Which, and that's great. That has never been me. I have just never had that internal. I'm not good at, motivating myself to do things unless there's like some kind of, I'll get in trouble if I don't do it.
Yeah, same. Exactly.
Which is like not the way, to motivate yourself. Although I do feel like that's kind of a funny thing because it reminds me of what we were sort of talking about with like religious trauma, where like you felt like you had to do certain things or you were going to go to hell.
Right.
It's kind of a similar feeling of like, if no one's going to yell at me, then why would I do it?
Yeah, which has to be like, at least in some element, maybe the parenting styles that were used with us.
Totally. I only cleaned my room when my mom was like, this is ridiculous. Clean your room, you know?
And maybe you have to teach your kids a little bit more of like doing things for yourself mentality. Although I don't know, because my siblings came out totally different than I did.
We all turned out differently. Is it like an accountability thing? Like having accountability to yourself, like learning how to do that? Mm-hmm. Is it like a delayed gratification thing? Like understanding how to like not do the things you want to do right away and do something that you don't really want to do in order to get like the delayed payoff, like,
and what you associate stress with is a big one for me. Like I associate stress with things that don't actually give me stress when I do them, so that can't be inherent. That like has to be something that I learned over time. Like I started associating stress with starting project. I mean, that's also a little bit, you're born with that, but when I'm actually like doing them, that are I'm not stressed. Like the dishes even. Like I'm stressed. I don't want to do the dishes. I'm stressed at the thought of doing the dishes.
And then once I'm doing
them, I'm like, this doesn't bring me pain. This doesn't bring me sadness. Like nothing bad is happening to me because of this.
So with that said, like I do feel like I have empathy for people who have been called lazy in their lives, who are sloths, because a lot of it does come from anxiety or ADHD or like other mitigating circumstances. And you've probably had a lot of shame about it your whole life. I honestly feel like it's one of those things, like I am like ashamed of the fact that like I sometimes put things off, or like I don't do things when I should be doing them, or sometimes I like spend the whole day in bed when I shouldn't have, or I didn't do the dishes when I should have. Like I get very, but the shame doesn't help. The shame actually sort of makes you lazier because it shuts you down.
Oh my God, especially. You don't want to do anything. Especially like I have a roommate right now who goes every single day, goes to like work and doesn't come back for hours. And like I'm in my room when she leaves. And then usually when she gets back, I'm in my room. And it's like, oh my God, I just comparing yourselves, I think, to other people makes you feel like a sloth.
I know. I've also had to do a lot of work on myself, just being like, hey, if you are able to literally sleep for 14 hours, you probably needed it because you are more sleepy than most people. You are not lazy. You're literally ill. Like there are things, conversations like I have to have with myself where I'm like, don't yell at yourself for not having the energy to go to the grocery store today. It's not an excuse. You are literally sick.
Right. Or needing to sit down. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking like physical laziness, I feel like, as much. I think I was more thinking like mental laziness, but obviously that's a big aspect of it too.
But I guess the question I'm asking is like, does laziness exist, or is it like a societal construct? Is there a feeling that you have to be productive all the time? And so when you're not productive, you feel like shit about it.
I don't think laziness totally exists. I think one aspect of it also might be addictive behavior. Like you're not lazy, you've scrolling. Just internet addicted, or like TV,
you can't
like
you stop scrolling,
right? Like you've damaged your attention span for being on TikTok too much, and now it's harder for you to do. And like, of course, people, like I have ADHD and I'm born with a bad attention span, but I'll say it a million times, people can absolutely make that worse by like watching two videos at once and like not ever letting them. You know how they do that on TikTok for kids now? They'll be like a visual video.
Subway Surfer.
I don't know, but there'll be like a video that's or the visual
sand
and then
cutting. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like two screens and they're like,
yeah.
And that's bad for you. Like that is bad for you.
Objectively.
And I do think parts of those are things that we've introduced to society more recently that we haven't had time to adapt to yet.
Yeah, I so agree with you.
Like, think about the iconic lazy teenage boy. He'd be playing video games all the time.
Right. But it's also like, well, what's he supposed to be doing?
Well, it's not good for you.
I guess, like, that's true.
Think about when I was playing Stardew Valley, how bad I felt. Like, I okay. literally...
Well, listen, that was... We both got a little crazy with that. If you are playing a video game for 12 hours a day, yeah, you're going to feel like, shit, that's not healthy.
I mean, this goes back
to
our...
We learned that the hard way.
Yeah, it goes back to our rotting conversation, which we've had tons of times, where it's like, of course you can do those things. But I've always found that, like, in excess, and most people find this, that doesn't give me energy. It takes away my energy more than anything.
Totally. I feel like I have so much less energy when I'm in a phase of not doing stuff. Like, when I'm in my doing stuff era, like, I don't love doing stuff. Like, let's all be on the same page about this. But when I'm in a doing stuff era, I find that I suddenly have the ability. It's kind of like a muscle in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have to, like, work out your unlazy muscle. Like, you have to, like, because if you are, you know, used to not really leaving your house all week and then only on the weekends, it feels really exhausting to go out on the weekends. And then sometimes you're like, well, maybe I don't want to. And it's like, why? Versus, like, if I'm having dinner on a Wednesday night and then I'm doing this on a Thursday night and then I'm going out on the weekend, you suddenly have a bigger social battery and a bigger ability to, like, do things. And it's not just, like, social things. It's like, well, if I'm already out and about, you know, I can run these errands. Well, if I'm already up, I can do the dishes. Well, if I've already done the dishes, why don't I clean my room, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want to overpush the stereotype that, like, you need to optimize production and work the most. But the happiest semester I had at college was my busiest one. Like, the one where I was working and taking a bunch of classes. And, like, I wouldn't even let myself watch TV shows that whole semester. I'd only let myself watch movies if I had time, because I was like, this would max out at 2 hours. And if I did a TV show, I might be there for 12.
Could be all day.
Yeah, I could be there till 3 a.m. And, like, I wouldn't let myself do that. And it would sound, if someone tried to sell that to me, I'd be like, that sounds like crap. Why would I do that? But I had so much more energy. I was so much happier. Like, it was the first time that I experienced a little improvement in my mental state. So I don't know. I want to be careful with saying that, obviously, because I don't want to say, like, yeah, if you're so, so busy, you're happier. But I think, like, feeding your brain and feeding your mind and, like, doing things that engage you just make you a more engaged person.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also want to be conscious of the fact that, like, I get really, really judgmental toward myself when I'm, like, depressed, because there's a difference between, like, depressed laziness and, like, I'm just not doing shit because I don't want to, or I don't have the motivation, or I don't have the self-control to, like, actually do things. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, nobody's telling you that you are doing something wrong if you're having a hard time, like, doing stuff when you're depressed, because it is really hard. But I will say, like, when I am depressed and I start doing stuff, it sucks, but I do start feeling better. It's not like a fix. It's not like, and this cured my depression and now I'm not depressed anymore.
Right.
But it does help to not, like, lay around all day.
Yeah, especially because a lot of my anxiety was from the snowball effect of, like, not getting stuff done. And then it gets worse the more I put it off, but I don't address it because I'm stressed about how it'll feel once I finally do address it. And then it gets worse and worse. I was just feeling like crap all the time about that. And then drinking a lot. And then that didn't help. And then, you know, just all of the different aspects of, like, not leaving
it's
the house and not.
Yeah, it's like a shame spiral. And it's like so. It's so painful. And I feel like when you're judging yourself, it makes it even worse.
Yep.
So just Bible. Know that we're not judging you. Bible. Yeah, we're not judging you, even though sometimes we judge ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't. We're doing our best. We could be doing a little better.
Yeah. And I think, like, keeping yourself busy with things that are interesting to you isn't the same thing as, like, sitting in a cubicle and having to do customer service, like, or, like, answer
work.
Emails all the time. Like, I don't want it to sound like that's what we're talking about. But, like, learning about stuff and, like, doing something that you feel like you're good at and gives you a sense of pride and accomplishment, and interacting with people like forces you to speak to humans, and all of those things can be good for you.
And productivity is important, but like, let's step away from like the definition of productivity that like people talk about in like a capitalist society.
Exactly.
Like, well, you need to be like girl bossing, working all the time, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't actually find that that is productive at all. Mm-hmm. I think productivity is doing things that make your life better. And keeping on top of things that improve your life, even if it's like going roller skating, that's productive because it's exercise. It makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. It's self-perpetuated forward motion. So it stimulates your peripherals and it builds up serotonin. Like, it, that's not how your boss would define productivity, but that is how I would define productivity.
Even listening to a podcast on a topic that you're interested in that you would like to learn more about, that's productivity to me.
Yeah.
Anything that isn't distracting you from life is how I like to describe it. Like, there are things
that helps you to engage with life.
Yeah. There are things that, like, wow, I'm really just spending my life avoiding life or distracting myself from living.
Yeah.
Those are the things that, the only things that I would exclude from productivity in this conversation.
Yeah. Like certain phone games I'm not allowed to play anymore.
Because if we can't self-regulate, yeah, sometimes needs to be the thing.
Gotta do that. Yeah, like, we want to engage with the world. It reminds me of the poem, even.
Yeah, like, it does.
You want to be like a part of the world and like
noticing things.
This is sort of the year of noticing things and like realizing things.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I know that when I'm not moving my body at all, I always feel worse. Like, that is kind of a form of laziness where I get in my head that I don't want to go on a walk around the block. And it's like, you 100% feel better every time you go on a walk around the block. Why wouldn't you do that? Sometimes it's like, there are things that I know make me feel better, and there's just some block. I just cannot do it. I don't know what it is. It's scary to me if it causes me anxiety or pain or whatever. But if that happens to you, like, you're not like an evil, lazy person. Like, there's just something you got to figure out.
And we so relate to that. We're so people who chronically experience that, I would say. I mean, even stretching my body, it should be so appealing to me. It makes me feel good immediately.
It feels good.
As I'm doing it, it even feels good.
Yes.
It's so weird. Yeah.
I know. It's the strangest thing. So many things that I genuinely enjoy doing. Like, even I like having a clean room. I genuinely enjoy living in a clean space,
and
but cleaning my room, I'm like, no, I can't. I'm scared.
The action of cleaning my room, though, I don't hate.
I'm
doing it, it's fine.
I put on a little podcast
or a reality TV show or a song, and I just go off. I have the best time.
I light a candle. I make it nice for myself. Like, I feel like I do everything right, and sometimes it's still hard. So I don't know if that's even sloth or like gluttony. It's just sometimes like, it's just hard.
Avoid the sloth, but be the animal that you are, and be okay with the animal that
hamster.
You are. Be okay with being a hamster. Hey,
bring it back.
And bring back Sluggard.
We have to bring back Sluggard in the year of our Lord 2024.
Bitches aren't saying Sluggard enough.
It's sort just of, no one wants to get off their ass and say Sluggard anymore.
Sort of sounds like an offensive word, don't you think?
I mean, it does. It is giving slur a little bit.
It is. This reminds me of when I was really high and asked someone if leprechaun was a slur.
I think it can be.
I guess you could say it with enough animosity.
Venom.
Yeah, like venom, dripping venom. That would be like, ooh, ooh.
I think there's probably someone for whom it would be very offensive.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I have to say about sloths. What about you?
Yeah, we'd love to hear if you have anything you want to say about sloth. If you wanted to write us anything, we could perhaps read it next week.
I actually don't think we talked about greed, but that's fine.
That's fine. We'll do it next week.
We can come back to it. We had so much to talk about with sloth.
I was actually kind of surprised. I thought we were not going to have as much to talk about.
Well, yeah, but I love to just like sit with the topic and then be like, what are all the questions and comments to do with this topic? And then there's always so much more than you think.
Yeah, because we love to consider the implications.
That's what it is. And that's what it is. Everything branching out, and in the center is sloth. And we made a tree today.
We did. We should make merch, like a little tote bag that says, consider the implications.
Wait, that's so cute. Hey, would you guys buy merch from us?
Would you buy a tote bag that said, consider the implications?
Dot, dot, dot. Can we have an ellipses at the end?
Oh, with love.
I love a dot, dot, dot.
Just a t-shirt that says, the implications.
All right.
All right.
Tarot card of the week. We're going to listen to Ellie tell the future now.
It's not the future. It's just a vibe.
Tell us the future exactly. With dates, with receipts, with names.
Yay. I have a friend who's like really afraid of psychics because his mom like went to a psychic and then said that someone was like going to die and then they did. Like it was like something crazy. So he's like very scared of psychics. But he did let me read his tarot cards and it was really fun.
And he wasn't scared? You saved him?
No, because I'm like, it's not telling the future. Right. It's just like giving you vibes.
It's just vibe checking.
And sometimes you just need someone to tell you what your vibes are. And then you go, oh, you're right. Those are my vibes a little bit, you know?
They just need to say something that's beautiful. And then you pick up on what lands for you. And you make it make sense for you. You pick up what you see. And then you live it. Sorry, that was a bad way of describing it.
No, I love it.
But that's how astrology is too.
Yeah, totally. So our card this week is the Eight of Wands.
Ooh.
She's kind of fun, kind of sunny, which is fun because we eclipse. Okay, this means travel and like quick change and things moving fast, like maybe a deal getting done quickly or life just starting to pick up a little bit, which I can see with the spring happening. Like, I feel like all this, it's kind of like there's like blooming branches on this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe it's like all of a sudden overnight, it's literally going to be like spring. Mm-hmm. And also travel. So I don't know if travel is in your future, but it could be if you're traveling or God, somebody's traveling. That. Just be aware that could be in the cards for you in this week.
I love that. It's sort of like a new spring in our lives respectively as well. So
I said that to my therapist. I was like, sometimes I feel like, you know, there's winter and then you have like a winter of your soul. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sort of in like both a spring of the world, but also a spring of my soul. Like I feel like things are finally blooming and budding and blossoming a little bit.
Me too.
And it's nice.
Yeah. Look at us blooming. Okay.
Look at us blooming.
Guys, look at us blooming. I hope you're blooming too. If you're not blooming, you will. You're budding.
Speaking of you're budding. When you were a kid and you got boobs for the first time, like you were growing boobs, did people say you're budding or you've got buds?
I don't remember. I feel like that's a like, gross thing to say to a child.
It is. It is, but that's what like that is like what all the adults that I knew and like all that we all yeah.
Oh my God.
You'd be like, oh, I hate she's
that.
Budding.
Oh, that makes me like physically awful? Uncomfortable. Like I'm squirming a little bit hearing that.
So I think about budding a lot and I'm like,
ugh. It's such a beautiful word without that though.
Yeah, sorry for ruining budding for you. But speaking of buds and best buds.
Stop. Yeah, that's beautiful.
We have a new birthday pig.
Guys, 2 weeks in a row we have a new birthday pig. Do you love us? Is that what this is? Or did you hear that we've been poor lately and feel bad?
And por qué no los dos?
Por qué no los dos? Yeah, that's either way and with both being true. Or if neither of those are the things and you just felt moved by the universe, thank you so much. We've got Katie, Curtis, Maya, Nathan, Flower, Pick, Georgia, Zachary, Biscuits, Chad, and new girl, Jennifer. Yeah, 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 new girl, Jennifer.
Wow. I do feel a little bad for Chad because you didn't get to, you know, more than 1 week as being sort of the star, the last name.
Yeah, so let's circle back to Chad. We're so happy about you, Chad, as well.
Also really happy. And Jennifer, just so happy to have you. And Biscuits. And Katie, Maya, Flower, Pat Flower Pig, mm-hmm. Curtis, Katie Maya,
Zachary, Georgia. Yeah. Nathan.
We just love you very much. Oh, and Nathan too. Sorry, Nathan. Love you extra for that one. But yes, if you want to be like our birthday pigs or if you just want to join us for more tea, you can join our Patreon. It is patreon.com/latenightdrivepod. If you want to contribute to the conversation, that's mm-hmm. a great place to go. Or you can come to our Instagram, which is instagram.com/late night. Well, that's not how you do that, but it is late night drive.
It is late night drive pod for
sure. Theoretically, you could type in instagram.com/late night drive.
Doubt you would. Probably wouldn't do that.
Would not see that ever happening, but perhaps.
People logging on their desktop and typing in www.instagram.com/late night drive pod.
https://. Okay, well, we love you guys so much. You would not even believe the amount that we're filled with deep love for you.
Budding and flowers. As always,
I don't know. I can't not think about boobs now. And as always, have a good day. Have a good night. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, hope it's a good one. A great one even, and we will catch you on our next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoy the drive. Ooh.
That was sort of like pop punk. Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive.
We hope you enjoy.
I hate the suburbs. Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.